4 days ago, it was 5 years ago that I walked into the Victor Outreach Men's Home. And 5 years later, amen, my life is not the same. It's nothing like it was back then. I am so grateful and thankful this evening for the process that God used in my life to get me to where I'm at. And also for settling it in my heart that anything that is good in my life is because of God. That there is nothing that I could have accomplished, anything that I could have done, had it not been for the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also want to thank our pastors, Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, the ministers on staff here at Victory Outreach for this opportunity to be able to share God's word. I count it a privilege to be able to share with you this evening the message that I believe that God has placed in my heart. But what I'm going to ask is that you would help me to pray this evening. We just spend a couple of moments here. Just lift our hands, lift our hearts. Let's just ask the presence of God to come and fill this place. That we would open up our hearts, that we would open up our minds. That we would just allow God to minister to our lives this evening through His Word and by His Spirit. That we would remove every distraction, every hindrance, anything that would stand in the way of God accomplishing what He wants to do in our lives this evening. Come on, just lift your voice and worship Him here. We love You, Jesus. We give You glory, we give You honor, we give You praise, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's none like You. We're grateful this evening, God, for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your love, for everything that You've done in our lives, Lord. We just worship You tonight, Lord. Come on, can we lift up the name of Jesus in this place tonight? Can we worship Him in this place tonight? Can we just express to Him tonight how much we love Him, how much we appreciate what He's done for our lives? Come on, people of God, worship the Lord in this place tonight. Lift your voice and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You this evening, Lord. Hallelujah. We love You tonight, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. We worship You. God, have Your way in this place tonight, Lord. Minister to every person, God, as they would have a need, Lord. Jesus. Lord, elevate us, God. Take us to the next level, God, that we can bring honor and glory to Your name by our lives, God. That we would be lined up, my God, with the plan and the purpose that You have for us as individuals. That we would be lined up, my God, with the plan and the purpose that You have for us as a church and as a ministry, Lord. That our lives would be pleasing to You, Lord. Give me grace, God, to minister Your word this evening with the gift that You have given me, that You might be glorified, Lord. It is only because of You, Lord, that we are here this evening. God, You've done so much to bring us to where we're at this evening. It is Your unfailing love, God, that reached out to us and brought us to this place, God, where hope was restored, God. Our lives were reassembled, God. And You've given us hope, Lord, and for that we thank You this evening, Jesus. Have Your way tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you will, open up your Bibles, amen, to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Stop and think about where your life would be had Jesus not come in. Exodus chapter 3. It's the second book in the Bible, right after Genesis. We're going to read a few verses here in chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And this is the word of the Lord. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up, or we could say, or to elevate them from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression of which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, up out of Egypt. You can be seated this evening. You know, the passage of scripture that we're reading here this evening is a very familiar portion of scripture. But I want to, if we can this evening, to look at it as the defining moment in the life of Moses. Because it is after this interaction or after this encounter that he has with God that his life takes a drastic turn, and he goes from being an everyday shepherd there attending the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro into receiving the call of God upon his life that would set his life in motion to be the great deliverer, that he would go back to Egypt and lead a nation of people from a land where they were oppressed, from a land where they were in slavery, to a land that the Bible describes as a land that flowed with milk and honey. You see, the Bible says here that God's intention for the children of Israel, after hearing their cries of suffering and hearing their cries of pain and being treated badly by the Egyptians, the Bible says that God said that it was his intention or his plan to get them up out of the land of Egypt and elevate them to a land that flowed with milk and honey, to take them to a place that they had only dreamed about, to take them to a land that they had only imagined in their mind, to take them to a land that was so far different than the land that they were living, that it was only real in a dream, and they could only think about it, but it was hard for them to imagine something different than the life that they were currently living. And I want you to know that the same intention that God had for the children of Israel is the same plan that he has for our lives. God wants to bring us up out of Egypt. Can you say amen? God wants to pull us out of the lifestyle that we used to live, and he wants to take us to a far better place. He wants to take us to a land that flows with his blessings, a land that flows with his peace, a land that flows with his presence. God wants to take us from where we were at and take us to a new place, a new life that many of us can only imagine, but it only becomes a reality when we give our lives totally and completely over to the Lord. Can you say amen this evening? You see, the Bible says that God wanted to take the people out of the bondages of Egypt. He wanted to elevate them. He wanted to take them to another level. He wanted to take them to another place. But we know that before God can do those things, because God is a God of order, that there is a process that needs to take place in our lives to get us from where we used to be, to get us to where God wants to be, because some of us aren't ready yet to walk into the blessings of God. We need God to do a work on the inside, because it's more than just getting getting drug free. It's more than just getting rid of alcohol. It's more than just getting out of the gang. God wants to do a work on the inside of our lives to prepare us for the blessings that He has ahead. You see, if we look at the life of Moses and we see his humble beginnings as being born to a slave, and we see that even as a young boy, his life was placed in danger and his family thought of a plan of how to save him. So they put him in a little ark, in a little boat, and they let him coast down the river where he was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. And he was taken to the palace where the first part of his life, he lived his life as a prince in Egypt. You see, Moses was a man of authority in Egypt. He was a direct heir to the throne. He lived in the lap of luxury. There was nothing that he wanted that he couldn't have. And the Bible says that one day as he was out looking among his fellow men, that he saw an injustice that was being done to the Israelite people. And he took it upon himself to kill a man and attempt to bury him because he had done something wrong to one of the Israelites. The Bible says that soon after that, he saw two Israelites fighting and he tried to come between them and told them to stop, that they shouldn't be fighting. And they asked him, what are you going to do to us? Are you going to kill us just like you killed the Egyptian? You see, Moses had a burden for his people. He saw the injustice that was being done to the children of Israel, and he wanted to help, but he went about it the wrong way. He wanted to help because he saw the need. He wanted to help because he saw that there was people that were suffering. He saw that people were being mistreated, and he wanted to do something about it, but he wanted to do it under his own strength. He wanted to do it under his own power. He wanted to take matters into his hand, and that was not the plan that God had for his life. You see, a lot of times what happens is we want to take life into our own hands instead of trusting God with our lives. A lot of times we see the need and we want to meet the need and we want to help people out, but we want to help them out under our own strength instead of allowing God to do a work in our lives so that we would be better suited to help them in getting to know Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says that God took Moses from the lap of luxury to the desert. And it was there that he was there for 40 years. And it wasn't so much in the making of this man of God, what God was giving him. It was what God was taking away from him that was preparing him to be the great deliverer of Israel. You see, what determines what makes up a man or a woman of God is not what we allow God to give us. It's what we allow God to remove from us, to take out of our lives. You see, Moses was in the desert for 40 years. He wasn't learning anything new. He was unlearning everything that he had been taught in Egypt. In Egypt, he had learned to worship false gods. In Egypt, he had learned to rule with an iron fist. In Egypt, he had learned what it was to have people serve him. But God took him to a place to unlearn all those things so that he would rule with love and compassion, so that all the things that he had learned in Egypt would be removed from his life. And here we have a man who used to be a prince, all of a sudden herding goats and sheep. He went from living in the palace to sleeping out in the desert. But that's what it took in the life of Moses to prepare him to be the great deliverer. There was a process that needed to take place in his life, just like there is a process that needs to take place in every one of our lives. You see, what happens a lot of time is that God takes us out of the life that we used to live. You know that saying that says that you can take somebody out of the neighborhood, but you can't take the neighborhood out of somebody? Do you know that that happens in church? God pulls us out of the neighborhood. God pulls us out of the ghetto. God pulls us out of the crack house. He takes us out of the shooting gallery. He brings us out of jail and prison. He brings us out physically from those places. But some of us still act the way we used to when we were in those places. Oh, I'm going to have to preach to myself tonight. We have Christian hustlers in the house of God. Always trying to hustle a blessing. Always trying to get over on somebody. Always trying to be the first in line. Always trying to make friends with the people that are influential that'll get them where they think that they want to go. There's a lot of different names that I'm not going to say with people like that. But they like to befriend people that they think are going to get them where they want to be. You know, as I was thinking about that today, you know, in our ministry, sometimes people get caught up in the who's who in Victory Outreach. And everybody wants to be next to the people that are really influential. Oh, I belong to this circle. Oh, I belong to this group of people. I want to hang out with these guys because these are the ones that are going to create opportunities for me. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about Pastor Sonny. And I thought that, you know, well, who was there to promote him? Who was there to give him an opportunity, to give him a break? There was nobody there. Pastor Sonny, he made the mold for Victory Outreach. Before him, there wasn't anybody else that was doing the work that God called him to do. So his promotion and his elevation didn't come from an organization. It didn't come from a group of men. It didn't come from influential leaders. His promotion came from God because he dedicated his life to reaching, hurting people. God raised him up to be the man of God that he is. You see, in the desert, there was nobody to promote Moses. His father-in-law, Jethro, couldn't get him to where God wanted him to be. He had to go and have an encounter with the Lord after 40 years. It makes you stop and wonder, why did it take so long? Moses had been in Egypt for a really long time. There was a lot of junk that was still inside the life of Moses that could only be taken out in the desert in an isolated place. But one day, Moses is out tending the sheep and he sees a very strange sight. The Bible says that he sees a bush that is burning. Moses had seen many bushes burning because the desert, just like our forests here, are prone and subject to lightning strikes. It's not uncommon in a desert to see a burning bush, especially when you've been there for 40 years, because lightning strikes happen and bushes catch on fire, just like our forest fires here in New Mexico. Lightning hits a tree and it starts a forest fire. So it's nothing that he hadn't seen before. But this bush was different because this bush was burning, but it didn't consume. It just continued to burn. It didn't just catch fire and burn out. It continued to burn. And he was drawn to the fire. And I want you to know that that is what made the difference in Moses' life, is that he was drawn to the fire. The fire, or his experience with that burning bush, is what elevated him from the position that he was at to get an audience with God, where he got his marching orders and the anointing and the power of God over his life to go back into Egypt to be the great deliverer of the children of Israel. I look and as I was reading that, I was thinking about how whenever we get close to fire or the fire of God, things change. We read in the book of Acts that on the day of Pentecost, that there were tongues like fire that rested upon the men that were praying there in the upper room. And once that fire rested upon them, a new boldness came upon their lives. A new boldness came upon a man by the name of Peter, who had failed Jesus, who had denied Jesus, who had walked away from serving the Lord, and he had said that he never knew Jesus. But once the fire of God came upon his life on the day of Pentecost, that fire came upon his life and it changed him forever, because then he got up in front of thousands of people and he started to preach the message of the good news, and thousands of people came to know Jesus because Peter got close to the fire. God was able to elevate him to where he had never been before because he got close to the fire. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, were threatened to be thrown into a fiery furnace if they didn't bow down to worship their false gods. And the Bible says that they refused to bow down. So they got them and they were going to put them in the furnace, and they told them, we're going to give you one last chance. Bow down and worship these false gods or we're going to throw you into the fire. And they responded and they told the king, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, let it be known that we did not bow our knees to these false gods. And what did the king do? Turn it up even hotter. But when they were thrown into the fire, when they got close to the fire, the Bible says that the king looked in and he didn't just see the three Hebrew boys. He saw a fourth figure inside the fire that looked like the Son of God. Jesus was with them inside the fire. They trusted him. They believed in him. And when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. And what happened immediately after that? They got elevated. They got moved into a higher position because they got close to the fire. Now the Bible says that Moses saw the burning bush and it got his attention because the bush burned but wasn't consumed. This was a different kind of fire. A fire that Moses had never seen before, because all the other fires that he had seen burned and fizzled out. You see, the fire that God wants for us to get close to. Listen to me this evening. The fire that God wants to us to get close to is not a fire that is going to fizzle out. It's not a fire that is based on emotion. It's not a fire that is based on circumstance. It is a fire that will burn continually inside of our lives, regardless of what is going on around us, regardless of what circumstances we might be going through. A fire that continues to burn the fire of God inside of our lives. You see, because there are too many times when we get the fire of God, but it's only temporary. We come to a church service or we go to a conference, we go to a convention, and God speaks a word to us and we get excited and we feel the fire and we testify and we tell people what a great time we had and how God spoke to us. But 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road, that fire's not burning anymore because the cares of life had drowned it out, because circumstances and trials have come upon our lives and all of a sudden that fire doesn't burn anymore. Or we come to church and we hear a powerful message and God speaks to us and we get excited and we feel the fire, but by the time we get home, that fire's gone. That kind of fire is never going to take us to the next level. God wants us tonight to draw near to that perpetually burning fire that doesn't go out, that can only come with a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, spending time with God and saying, God, I'm tired of going back and forth. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of losing the victory. I'm tired of 1 month being up, the next month being down. I want a perpetual fire inside of my life that'll never go out. Doesn't matter what's going on in my family. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. As long as the fire of God is burning in my life, I know I'm going to make it. God told Moses, come here. He got his attention. He said, come here. But then God stopped him in his tracks. Because Moses was drawing close to the fire. And God told him, hold on, you can't come here yet. You got to take your shoes off. Now, imagine, if you will, Moses on the backside of the desert. He probably doesn't have a lot of possessions for himself. He probably doesn't have the same things that he had in Egypt as far as dress, attire. He didn't have the same things. He might have had a robe, a staff, and his shoes. And God tells him, before you can get close to this fire that will burn forever inside of you, a fire that is going to enable you and empower you to go back and tell Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, to let your people go. Before you can get close to this fire that is going to elevate you to be the leader that is going to take a nation of people from slavery and bondage and suffering to a place that they can call their own, a land that flows with milk and honey. Before all those things can happen, before the anointing of God can come upon your life, before the power of God can come upon your life, there's one thing, Moses, that you need to do. You need to take off your shoes. You see, back in those days, shoes were reserved for masters. Slaves and servants didn't wear shoes. Only the affluent, the rich, people that had power, people that were in authority, wore shoes. And what God was asking of Moses was, Moses, you've already been stripped of every worldly possession. You've been stripped of the power and the influence that you used to have in Egypt. You've been broken down to being just a shepherd out here on the backside of the desert. But the work isn't done yet. There's one more thing that you have to give up, Moses. You have to take off your shoes. You got to humble yourself just a little bit more. You might think that the work is complete. You might think that you've given up everything already. But Moses, there is a little bit more that you have to give up. We haven't arrived yet. The process is not complete in your life, Moses, until you take your shoes off and you humble yourself, recognizing that the only reason that you're here is because God has willed it for your life. The only reason why you're still alive is because God has willed it for your life. Recognizing that the only reason that you've had any measure of success is because God's hand has been upon your life. You see, I think a lot of times what keeps us from going to the next level or elevating ourselves in the kingdom of God, getting to the place that God has for us, is our pride. Because somehow we want to take credit for what God has done. We want to take credit like if we did it ourselves. All our accomplishments, all the things that we've been able to do and the places we've been able to go and the things that we have experienced, we want to take credit for those things, and we fail to remember and recognize that had it not been for the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, we would be in jail, we would be in prison, we would be out there in the street, we would be dead. It's only because of God. It's nothing that we've done. We can't pat ourselves on the chest or pat ourselves on the back and walk around like it was because of us that we are where we're at and we're doing what we were doing. If it wasn't for the grace and the mercy of God, we would still be lost. I remember somebody told me one time, he said, you know what? He goes, at our best, on our best day, after the biggest accomplishment of our life, we are still sinners saved by grace. After our best effort, our biggest accolade, we're still sinners saved by grace. Had it not been for Jesus Christ, none of this would have been possible. None of this would be possible in our life if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. You see, coming close to the fire of God, if we look at the examples that we've mentioned tonight and all others, the men and the women that got close to that perpetual burning fire were men and women that were willing to let go of everything. They were willing to let go of everything to follow Jesus. They were willing to put down their pride. They were willing to put back their possessions. They were willing to put away their lives for the sake of a greater cause, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, I am looking forward to this weekend, to our summit, because I believe that God wants to elevate every single one of us. He wants to elevate our church. He wants to take us to the next level. But in order to get there, we got to get close to the fire. We got to get close to that perpetual fire. We got to have that encounter with Jesus Christ. We got to get that encounter with God Almighty and say, God, I don't care what I have to go through, what I got to do, what I got to endure, the hardships, it doesn't matter. I want all that you have for my life. And once we get it, be thankful. Be thankful and know that it's only because of God. Do you want to get elevated? That was God's purpose for Israel. The reason, the whole reason why he reached out to Moses and raised him up and anointed his life is because there was hurting people in Egypt. And God's intention was to bring them up, get them out of that life, and bring them to a better place. There are people in our city, in our communities, and God's heart is for those people. God wants to bring them up. He wants to take them out of that lifestyle. And he wants to take them to the land that flows with milk and honey. And God wants to use us. God wants to use us to bring that message of hope to the people that are lost and hurting in our city. But we have to go through the process. Just like Moses did. Moses was a willing participant in the call of God upon his life. He said, if all I have to do is take off my shoes, God, you got them. If all I got to do is set aside my pride, God, you got it. If all I got to do is set aside my own life, God, you got it. I want to fulfill the plan and the purpose that you have for my life. I want that perpetual fire that never goes out. Aren't we tired of struggling? Aren't we tired of going through trials and tribulation and always thinking, man, it doesn't get any better. We're always struggling. I'm always fighting against the devil. I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. I'm in and out. I go for a little while, then I come back to church, and then I leave again. Aren't we tired of that kind of life? Don't we want the fire of God burning deep inside of our lives where it doesn't matter what happens, we're unshaken, we're unmovable? Give it your best shot, devil. I got the fire of God in my life, and it's not going to go out. This is not emotional. It's not temporal. This is a perpetual burning fire. Close your eyes with me this evening. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. You know, I believe tonight that the Spirit of God is in this place tonight. And I believe that tonight God is calling individuals, men and women, young people that would say, you know what, I need that perpetual fire in my life. I need to get elevated to the next level. I want God to use my life to reach other hurting people. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is in this place to meet you. This can be a defining moment in your life, just like it was for Moses. This can be a place where we get it right once and for all. This can be a place where we can come tonight and say, God, I need you to fill me with your presence, with your Spirit, Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you came here at the invitation of somebody, or maybe you've walked away from God in the past and you came back to church this evening, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I don't want to go back to that life that I used to live. I don't want to go back to what I was doing before. I need Jesus in my life to change me so that I don't have to do that. The Lord is here this evening to meet your need. So I'm going to ask those of you that are here, if God has ministered to your heart and you've been challenged tonight, to say, you know what, God, I need that perpetual fire inside of my life to burn continually, God. And I'm ready to do, God, whatever it takes. I'm ready to rid myself of whatever is holding me back from receiving that, Lord. I'm going to invite you to come out of your seat. and just come to this altar. Lift your hands, lift your voice before the Lord.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Come on, all over this place.
No place I'd rather be.
Let the fire of God fill your life this evening.
No place I'd rather be. Than here in your love.
Here in your love.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be.
Than
here in your love.
Set
a fire. Set a fire.
Voice to the Lord.